Let's see. All right, so we're changing things up a little bit this year based on discussions we had last summer about having some workshop time. And so today is the first time we're going to try that, where we're just building and giving you guys time to actually sit and write some stuff out. So we decided to start with meal planning. It is the number one thing that people talk to me about, oddly enough. And I think this is probably, if you count last summer's pilot study, the third time that we're talking about meal planning. But if you're like me, we need that reboot all the time or that reminder or that opportunity to think about it again. So, you know, it's very typical of human beings to need lots of reminders. And I was just thinking, even last week I was in California, and I was like visiting different people, staying in different homes, visiting my brother and sister-in-law, and just observing how other women are running their kitchens, planning their meals, how they go about it, how strict or loose they are about it. And I was even just confronted almost in my own heart, like, am I putting the right amount of time in this? Am I loving my family the way I should be in this? Or am I just skating by? And so it's good even to be in other homes and be reminded of either how much or how little time you're putting to the task of planning your meals. So I'm glad that you all prioritized making it here today, and we can spend some time. We're going to discuss kind of some of the stuff you guys are doing, what's working, because all of us tend to do it a little differently, and we can glean from each other, and I can even get ideas from you guys as I'm working on it. So this is actually the first page. Actually, I don't think you have this page. I don't think I printed it. So I'm just going to read you this quote. It's from the book Large Family Logistics, which was renamed something else. Renamed Home Management, Plain and Simple. And I just like her encouragement. She says, for those 1,095 meal times that your family sits down together to enjoy, be encouraged that God will help you in your efforts. Food, presentation, etiquette, and conversation direction are responsibilities we need to take seriously as the matrons of our homes. We must give thought and plan for these times that the family is gathered together around the table, sharing, talking, and enjoying each other and the food that is set before them. Do your part to plan and pray about it. So really, that's our basics. We want to plan and we want to pray. And there's different seasons of your planning and of course, praying all the time. But if you're like me, you probably don't pray about your meal planning. But you do pray about blessing your family. And, you know, I'm pretty sure we all know when we're doing it without thought and when we're doing it with thought. So as usual, we want to start with the heart. And is there anything hard and fast spiritually about meal planning that we can look to? And I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 10:31. If you don't have your Bible, I'll just read it to you. But it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so the basics of even just putting the food in your mouth is for the glory of God. So obviously the preparation of such can be done for the glory of God or for the glory of ourselves wrongly or for the, you know, other people's view of you. You might do it for reputation or you might do it out of, you know, just because you have to, you know. So we have to be making sure we're doing this because we want to glorify God. And then also in Proverbs chapter 31, we see the excellent wife. And we know this is a poem. It is not, you know, commandments don't necessarily come out of poetry in the scripture. But we see this picture of an industrious woman. And three times a day or more, snacks, even these Cheerios here, are coming from a diligent effort, feeding your family as many times a day as you may have to. In different seasons, it's different. Certain husbands and children are different in their capabilities of what they can do, and husbands who prefer to cook, you know, even more than you. So it might play out differently. But when you look through Proverbs 31, In 14 and 15, it says she's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Later on in 27, it says she looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. And so we see in Proverbs that an example of a diligent woman plans. She seeks out good things for her family. She's diligent in preparing even the basic needs of food. She seeks that her household is well provided for, and she's not lazy. And in the end of Proverbs 31, we see that her work is praiseworthy before God and men. So, in seeking to honor God, and second, seeking to honor your husband, you're looking at what does he want. So, one of the main things I want to encourage you with today is, are you planning and preparing in such a way that is the way your husband would like you to? And a combination even of what you can manage, what he wants, you know, in marriage, there's a balancing act of that. So this is a way that you show him love and honor, even choosing things that your children like to eat, and regularly interspersing that. And with you all having little kids, you know, you're just trying to get them to eat things that you know everyone should like, and they're rejecting. So kind of balancing out what they do love with the training. So those are some things that are just written here on these sheets that you can read over later if you didn't already read them last summer. So let's see. What are some general questions or struggles that you guys have about meal planning? So we might as well focus in on where you guys are at in particular as we talk through this today. What drove you to want to be here today?
Ideas. I get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same. And I serve the same things all the time. And even when I try to Google, like, dinner ideas, or I don't know if it's just...
You're like, chicken, 500 ways.
Well, yeah, just ideas.
All right.
And speed, like, doing it.
Yeah.
Not taking so much time to plan. Mm-hmm.
Speed and efficiency. Okay.
I feel like I buy too much and then I waste a lot.
Okay. And are you still like spending like within your budget, but it still just seems like too much, or tendency
yeah.
to go over?
Like tendency to go over, and then the veggies are going bad, and then. Chickens.
What'd you say about the chickens?
No, I have to take it to Dana's chickens.
Oh. Well, I guess that's better than the trash. You're feeding your sister's pets.
Right. That's true.
Hopefully getting it through the eggs later.
Right.
There you go.
Well, and sometimes, like, for a while when we lived in Venice, I'd always buy, like, all the meat at Detweiler's and, like, oh, this is on sale. And then, like, oh, I didn't freeze that, and then that's about to go bad, and then you have too much meat, too, so that was my problem. I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy just whatever, so.
Yeah.
Just knowing how much we eat, too.
Yeah. We also drive out, usually, to Sarasota for grocery shopping, because that's where we like to store, so it's like, I have a tendency of buying, because I'm like, what am I going to
right,
back
you
here?
Just run back if you
feel yeah, so.
Where do you go in Sarasota?
I usually do Costco, Sprouts.
Oh, okay.
Good. Well, these are good things that that basically fit into what I figured we would be talking about. I did, though, the one thing I forgot was I was going to bring a stack of cookbooks, but as we know, those are kind of phasing out anyway. But there's a list of them on the resources page. Let's see.
86.
Yeah. But just for some basic ideas of stuff that I've really enjoyed, the Fix, Freeze, Feast book, you may have seen me flash before. It's cooking like three meals at one, the same meal but three servings of it based on what you can buy at Costco. So obviously you can see why a big family like mine might really need that. But if you also have a smaller family and you're able to divvy it up even more, the thing I love about that is you have meals in the freezer that you can give away. So it's a way to be proactively thinking about giving, serving the church, ministering to others. I don't know. It's somewhere in.
I think it's the top one.
Here
freeze
it is.
And feast.
And then the once a month cooking, I love, but I haven't been able to accomplish that very often because
you really need
two of you. Yeah. So you really need a partner. And I have two friends in Jupiter who have been doing this for years. Mm. One Saturday a month, they make like 15 meals. Because with going out, something quick, nobody's hungry kind of decisions, you end up really making like 15 a month or whatever. So there's some other money-saving things in here. Online sites, homemanagement101.com. And then just ideas on using food as hospitality are listed in there as well. But back to budgeting, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit when we're talking about going over your budget. Like, sometimes we don't know what we should be spending, or especially our husbands don't. Like, my husband rarely darkens the door of a grocery store. He might know like a good price on Mountain Dew or tortilla chips, but understanding, like, sometimes we have to help them understand what the prices are out there and what's feasible. And if after doing our very best, we're still struggling with that number, and even comparing it to other families of the same size and demographical area, you might need to ask for more at certain times. I know Mark and I have gone back and forth about this through the years. What is reasonable? Or am I overspending? Am I buying and wasting? You know, like, all that comes into play. And so I was just double checking, like, online this morning. And it says a family of two, so a couple, might be able to get away with $50 to $75 a week. Now, Mark and I did that, but now we're talking like 22 years ago in LA. Yeah. So I'm not sure necessarily with our economy if that is actually feasible.
My grandparents do about $60 a week.
Really?
But grandma's very frugal. So.
Well, and I know Mark's grandparents, they share a steak like this size. So they're each getting like 2 ounces.
Yeah. But she's been doing that in their budget for a long time.
Wow.
Davis and Sarah are really, really strict. Like, they don't buy paper towels or napkins or anything. Like, things that we consider
essential. Soda, candy, any of those extra?
Very few snacks. They're just, their food budget is really, and they do $90 a week.
And do they pack lunches for work?
Sarah does. Davis doesn't eat lunch. He eats like a really big dinner. He only eats once a day.
Okay.
Several of my brothers do that.
Yeah, I know a lot of men like that.
How are you not dead? Like,
I cannot imagine.
They don't eat. Taylor, I think Alex packs lunch. Logan, Tucker, Davis.
Wow.
They don't eat breakfast or
lunch. They eat big at night.
Yes. So
I don't know if that's healthy.
No, that's a whole other thing.
Wow.
But $90 a week is what they've... And
so in the local area here in Florida, we're saying it can be done for $60 to $90 for two people.
Yeah.
So then you can multiply that out and up. Small children obviously don't eat a lot, but if you put diapers into that budget, Mark and I were like, okay, so it's diapers or, you know. We used to groan about the diapers. Now we're like...
Yeah.
Well, orthodontia, college.
Do they eat healthy? Like, what kind of, do they have veggies, fresh produce in that? Both of them?
Grandma does. She knows how many tomatoes they need for the week.
Okay.
Like, grandma does garden a little bit. Well, now they're closer to their 90s, so they're kind of phasing out of that. But for a while, she did garden.
Okay.
So she knew what grew in Florida, and she's like, she'd save her seeds from, like, tomatoes, dry them out.
My goodness.
My grandma's an accountant.
Grandma's got it down to $60.
Wow. Yeah, but she would still be able to bless others with either, you know, a meal here and there. Or,
okay.
Like, somebody's hungry. Okay, come sit down.
Nice.
But she knew everything to the T. She knew how many cucumbers they need throughout the week, how many potatoes. And she'd never throw away food.
Okay.
So. But, yeah.
It can be done,
but yeah. But again, they've been married 60 plus years, so I'm sure in time.
It's been fine-tuned.
Right.
Yeah.
But isn't it like the produce that costs some of the least compared to packaged stuff?
Depending on where you shop, if you shop at Publix, you're going to pay a whole lot more than like Detweilers.
Right. But then you have to balance if you buy the Detweilers, you have to eat it faster, right? Because it's not as preserved.
I shop at Detweilers, but I only go once a week.
So a family of four, we could guess then that they would be, usually that's smaller children, but somewhere between 100 and 150 a week, on up to a family of six, maybe 2 to 275, and a family of eight, 3 to 400, depending. Now, all that can be, there's so many factors that are going to go into your budgeting, because I was just thinking through, 1 week I might be able to feed a family of eight on $150. But that's because I have stock in my pantry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like I already had the paper plates or I had some leftover meat from, so it's not like, I'm not sure I could feed a family of eight on $150 with nothing in the house.
I find there are weeks where like every other week I'm like, or once a month I need to stock up on rice or different spices, whatever, so.
Yes. So another factor might be if you use paper goods or not. So if you're using cloth napkins and never paper plates, of course it's going to cost you less. So you have to evaluate too, like time and money, And every family makes those decisions differently. So, you know, you have to be really careful even when you talk to people or think about it and the comparison game in your head, like people juggle time and money a little bit differently. For some people, I'm going to spend the extra time drying my tomato seeds.
Yeah.
For other people, I'm going to buy the paper plates to save all this time of washing dishes or the kids or whatever's going on in our lives. So you have to balance because paper goods can add a lot of money to your budget. I know the price for paper plates at Costco has hiked so high that I don't want to chunk that out at once. So I'll do a BOGO at Publix and literally is cheaper than Costco. So sometimes you have to juggle that out. But I could probably get away with 150 to 200 with the size family I have if I like shop at Aldi for exactly my ingredients, no more at all. But then if something gets eaten out of order, then I might be in trouble. Also, if you have company, like we regularly have company in our house, and I like to have a little bit of stock of, I can always just throw that together, like spaghetti set, there's always like something in there. This week we had surprise company, and I didn't have time to go to the store, and I'm like, oh look, we have a box of four Costco pizzas. Our company's getting frozen Costco pizza. All right. So, but if you have company a lot, your budget's going to be higher. But I also would encourage you, like, okay, we're not having company because we can't afford it. I wouldn't say that, because that's where you can also trust the Lord and see Him provide. He provides for the things that you and you want to reach out. Now, you may not have steak for your company. You may have Costco pizza, but it's not about the food when you have the company anyway. So trust the Lord in that. So those are just some other things that can come in and kind of alter that amount. And some families, the budgets are all separated too. Like these are cleaning supplies, household. This is food. In our family, I'm usually buying the paper goods, cleaning supplies, and diapers with the food and don't ever take the time to like separate it out from the receipt. So Mark and I have always just lumped it all together. You know, like this week I actually happened to buy these cleaners, but I won't buy them again for 3 months. You know, so we just kind of work it in with the whole, basically this is the money Jill has to spend, and it includes all these things. If there's clothes the kids need, I would just ask, you know, if unless you have a clothing budget. So it just depends on how you and your husband have worked that out. But those are just some general budget amounts just to maybe check if your family's in the right spot, if you're spending too much or you have too little. So hopefully that's helpful. So then let's talk about, actually before we talk about other resources to go to find stuff, I heard this week that if you had your meals prepared for you and you picked them up somewhere, that they're about $10 a person for a healthy meal. So we're not talking about, you could get McDonald's and Taco Bell cheaper. But, I mean, compare the price of what you're paying for your meals with having your own personal chef in your home or down the street that you pick the meal up from. And So sometimes when you're looking at cost per meal, per family member, and your busyness factor, you know. So if you're busy, then you don't have as much time, so you need to do more pre-made stuff. It's going to cost a little bit more. Whereas if you loosen up your schedule, you have a little more time, you can plan a little better, it costs a little less. So again, it's the whole time, mm-hmm. money, effort. We'll add effort in there. mm-hmm. so we always have to think about all those factors when we're even talking with other people, with each other about what we spend.
Back to my grandpa, like they never eat out. Like they always, they don't do paper goods and stuff like that. So that's probably why grandma's been able to survive.
Yeah, and these numbers don't include eating out at all.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is not your entertainment budget, so to speak.
Yeah. $90 is strictly food, right? No toiletries?
Right.
Okay. For Sarah and Deuce?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because those are lumped into mine, too. My big
yeah,
total.
I don't think they're paper, anything. Like toilet paper, cleaning supplies, stuff like that. I don't think that's in there. Right. I know mine isn't, but that makes sense that you would lump, because when you go to Walmart, you're often buying
everything household.
You're buying baby soap and you're buying, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Along with it, paper plates, so that makes sense that it would all, yeah.
Yeah, I think it gives you a little bit more flexibility of those choices and understanding what's going on in your home if all those budgets are kind of lumped together.
Well, you're not going to buy soap and paper plates and cleaning stuff every single week.
Right.
So if they're all in the one budget, you're going to, it will naturally kind of work
flow and even
itself
out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know there's other people who like to line item that stuff and they're good at that. If you're not good at it or your husband's not good at it, maybe just lump it all together. Okay, so now we're going to talk about places to find ideas of what to cook. So we're stuck in a rut. We need some ideas. So this is something that Linda Masella just told me about, and I think I'll have Jenny maybe explain it. The way to keep all your recipes in one place app.
Recipe Gallery.
Gallery.
I started using it, and I really like it.
Now this, we have to find
this
it.
This is going
to
go in the final edit of this book here.
Oh, good.
So it's $2.99 to buy this app.
Yeah, I don't have it. Is it a one?
Your mom told me she sent it. Oh, maybe she just sent it to you.
She sends me recipes from it.
You're not actually using the app.
Recipes in notes. I have a recipes folder in my notes.
Okay, so this.
And she'll send them to me and I save them.
There's an app called Recipe Gallery that Linda was telling Bev and I about, and you can scan a written recipe, or you can copy from Pinterest or a website. It keeps all of them in there. You can upload a picture. And what Linda was telling me is she's not like, where's that one cookbook? I was picturing when I have time to work on this, I could get rid of a whole shelf of books because I have this cookbook for those two recipes and that cookbook for those three recipes. And I don't have time to keep going through those cookbooks I've had for 20 years. So if I go in and I scan my favorite ones, then I can do away with this whole shelf in my kitchen. And then as you find stuff on Pinterest, you can put it on there and it will... then say Jenny asks her mom for her mom's Italian bread recipe, and Linda just sends it over. Super easy in our digital age. And I believe you can search for ingredients on there, and you can create your own categories. And to me, $2.99 for a digital cookbook on my phone that is with me at the store, with me at a friend's to share a recipe with her. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time to upload it, but then once you start getting stuff in there, one place sounds amazing.
What's neat about that, too, is the family favorites can go in there.
Uh-huh.
You make something new, and then someone says, oh, I liked that. Then, you know, you forget about it, and you're going on and on. So the moment I like that, put it right on there. That's what I've done, and I love it.
Yes.
The other thing with Pinterest now, there's so many ads. When you go to, I started adding.
Yep, I want them to see it.
You know how when you go to Pinterest and you find that recipe you like, but the ads are blocking and going like this?
And they write their big blog story.
And you're scrolling 500 feet to get to it.
And then the screen turns off, you have to scroll again. Yes.
Yeah.
That's definitely what I want to do.
Copy, paste, and you just have that. And I'm like, hallelujah. So I'm thankful to Linda for She casually mentioned it to us.
And we're like, we were just talking about
me
today.
Told me about it before, but I thought, oh, I keep my stuff in notes. But that makes a lot of sense. I didn't think
you can categorize it.
Because I do have a folder.
Like this,
paper,
with all your
paper, like we were talking about. But then it's like I'm always shoving stuff in the front because I haven't taken time to open it up to that section and break open the little things and slip it in one of those chains. But I'm like, it doesn't happen. So I have a stack of papers shoved in the top.
Yeah.
And then bookmarks on my phone from when I found recipes I want to bookmark. So then I'm always like, wait, is that in my binder or is that in my? And then I'm scrolling through my bookmarks.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense.
So it would be all in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can take pictures of that.
And I had, there was a time around the time we were moving here that Mark's grandma offered to copy out all my recipes for me. So I bought the card, like boxes of cards.
Oh my
and I have her beautiful cursive handwriting and all these cards, but then they get out of alphabetical order. So I can scan them all.
I still have
grandma's handwriting, which is the most precious part to me. Mm-hmm. And then I have all those recipes in one place. And they don't have to be in alphabetical order anymore or lost because I didn't put them away in the right place. Because I'm just not that organized. I know other people are. But, you know, it could just be super helpful for you. Then, of course, there's everyone's favorite Pinterest where you can see a recipe. Oh, that looks good. Then you can try it, but it doesn't taste good. My sister-in-law and I tried making this thing where you, like, broil an avocado and we're like, avocado doesn't taste good hot.
Oh.
That looked good, but it didn't taste good.
That's funny.
So where are some other places that you are getting your recipes? Let's just throw it out there.
Natasha's Kitchen.
Yes.
Yes.
Flavor Factory.
Yeah.
Natasha's Kitchen both looks good and tastes good.
Yeah, really? And I think she collaborated with, I'll have to find a post. She collaborated with a lot of similar younger Russian women who kind of have all their different blogs. And everybody has their own style, so I'll have to find that. Where she mentioned a ton of other younger ladies, older ladies.
Oh, you're going to have to do it for all of us, Tab.
Yeah.
Where's the place you go?
Lily Cooking and Home. She's a newer one I started following, but she does a lot of Georgian-inspired meals.
Southern?
Huh. Georgian, kind of like
Russian,
the
Georgian.
The country.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Yeah, to us, that's Southern.
Which Georgia?
Lily's. It's L-I-L-Y-S.
L-I-L-Y-S.
Cooking at Home.
Cooking at Home, yeah. So far, I've done a few recipes from her that I liked.
What kind, like, dinners she has?
Dinners, yeah. She has a lot of things on there, but I mostly stick to the dinners from her that I've tried so far.
Uh-huh.
But her husband also like hunts and stuff like that, so she has recipes for like hunting.
That's game.
Ooh, yeah, game meat. Yeah.
Does your husband hunt?
No.
Okay. Pioneer Woman.
That's a good one.
I love her stuff, and she usually makes you laugh when you read her actual post about the food.
You don't just click jump to recipe.
Yes. No, but I have a pork chop recipe from her I love, but every time I open it up, like the very top of her thing, just I'm laughing every single time. So it's like cooking with entertainment. Anything else?
Food Network. Yeah. Sometimes it can be involved. But
yeah. That's on internet, not TV, or you watch this show?
Internet.
Okay.
Like Elton Brown, usually something like a classic. If you have nowhere to start, like
right,
you know. Starting a tradition or something. Like Alex has made a green bean casserole from him that he loved, so we're like, save this recipe.
If I can think of something that was like cooked for me as a child, I can usually like put it in allrecipes.com and usually find something really similar. And you like look at the ingredients, no, that can't be it. Right. Oh, yep, that looks like it. So all recipes
in Food Network, they're never bad. They're general, like, or generic. Mm-hmm. They're not real fancy, but they're never bad.
They're what most of us make.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing fancy.
They're the staples.
I've taken the time, like, if somebody has us over or whatever the case may, like, I'll reach out, be like, can I please have the recipe for this so I can add it?
Mm-hmm.
I use the Plan to Eat app.
Okay.
That one, it'll build your shopping list based off of your recipes, which is kind of cool. I know Dana and Angie really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know if Recipe Gallery does that. But this one, it's $20 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a subscription versus just a one-time $2.99 for the app. So
sometimes but they have a sale on it.
Do they? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes really low.
Okay.
Yeah. But you don't know when it's.
I know.
What's happening?
Well, I was just determined. I was like, great, two babies. We're gonna just buy the app and see if it saves.
It's worth
time.
It for now. Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it. Because of the shopping list factor, mm-hmm. where you just build and then you can see how often you've been cooking something.
Does it only have your recipes in there?
Yeah, and then you can share recipes with friends too. You can see who's cooking what if they make their account on the public.
Yeah, you can go read their
recipes.
Cool. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You can see who's doing what. I really like that.
Another subscription is called Build a Menu. And it's one I got like at the homeschool convention, but they have pictures and recipes in there. And as you choose them, it puts them in a group, and then you go and assign them to days of the week, and then it also builds your shopping list off of that. And then you can go through and erase. Oh no, I have the rice. I have this. That was super helpful for me to know pretty much exactly what I was going to spend. And you choose. You can choose Aldi or Publix or Winn-Dixie or Walmart, and it'll offer you a weekly meal plan. If you just follow exactly what they do, or you can build your own. Mm-hmm. And so that was helpful for me to get out of the stuck in a rut thing, mm-hmm. because I was looking at these, I'm like, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Right.
Started making these things for my kids, and they're like, I don't know about French fried onions, you know? And then we tried it, and they're like, I like French fried onions, you know? So even me getting out of my rut and challenging them, even as older kids, on new things was helpful. I don't know the price of that one right now, but Build a Menu. If you have time to do that in your week, to go in and get it all laid out, maybe pick some new things, or I would just find something that was similar to what I make and just choose it, and then I would just take off ingredients that I knew I didn't want, just to make it easy. And also then you could do the once a month cookbooks or Instapot recipes now are new because more people are using pressure cookers and it's a whole different time frame than stovetop and oven. So there's that learning curve that comes along with figuring out exactly how much time it's going to take. I messed up pork so many times in my Instant Pot. Finally got this cookbook Cheryl Supples recommended and I was like, oh my word, I'm undercooking it by all this time. No wonder no one was enjoying it. Not that it wasn't cooked, it just wasn't soft. So there's some things out there now that are specific for Instant Pot if you like doing that, which works really well in our home with time and getting things to, you know, time and busyness. So any other ideas? Now's the time.
I've actually been trying every time that we go visit my in-laws to come back with one of my mother-in-law's recipes to kind of incorporate.
Cool. So something she fixed for you when you were there or just...
Something that Andre kind of has grown up on. So I know she enjoys it a lot because she knows her son is going to have
It's very honoring.
Her
yeah.
recipe.
Cool. That's honoring.
What's neat about that too is you're actually passing it on.
Right.
Because one thing I did with Joe's mom was kielbasi pierogies because they have that Czechoslovakian Slovak.
Mm.
That's what some of my kids like. And, you know, Joel, mom, make da-da-da. So what you're doing is also passing it on mm-hmm. generation to generation, which is neat.
Yeah, because usually you learn, like, your mother's way of cooking.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Like, Slavic community especially, like, your mom's recipe for her borscht or her mm-hmm. stuffed peppers. So also asking for your mother-in-law's is, I guess, in a way also honoring.
Yeah,
it is, absolutely.
Food's a big thing.
That's really sweet.
Yes, very sweet. So, in an effort to even talk about like food ideas, we have the worksheets in here. Let's start with the master meals list and have you start jotting down what these, even your rut things, you just need to list them. So here's a blank sheet for you. To just start writing in, and it's probably not going to get very far today because you're going to be like, I don't even know what I cooked last week. But the categories will help jog your mind. And then there's just some idea. Like, I'm looking at this. I made this, like, 3 years ago now. Some of these have changed in our home. But so you can constantly update and change. But there's ideas on here to help jumpstart your mind, too. It's going to give you like 10 minutes to work on making a master meals list, and then we'll go ahead and you have another blank sheet to plan a full weekly menu, and we'll do that after. But I'm going to turn off the recorder now and just let us spend some time, as we're calling these workshops now, actually do what we're talking about. So.